Are rocks alive? Can one become a rock in one's future life? Ultimately, no physical object is alive. It is the soul that is present which gives life. So even right now the body is not alive. It is the soul who is alive through the human body. That's why the human body appears to be alive. The Padma Puran talks about 8.4 million species, and it does not mention rocks over there. It mentions aquatics, plants, insects, birds, mammals, humans, or animals, humans. So, and that classification seems to be the standard one, which we have for understanding where all the soul wanders. It goes through 8.4 million species. So, stones don't fall in that. So, in that sense, you could say that stones don't have souls present within them, which whereby the stone is the body for the soul. Now, there are always exceptions in the sense that Krishna as the super soul is present everywhere. He is present in our body, he is present in every cell, andantarastha paramanu chirantarastham. He is present in the atom, he is present in the space between the atoms also. He pervades all of existence. So there is a school of thought called panpsychism. Panpsychism means pan is everything. Psyche is mind, which is the Western equivalent for consciousness. Panpsychism is everything is conscious. That is the idea. And that school of thought holds that there are just degrees of consciousness, and in what we call as conscious beings, consciousness is more, so that it's manifest to us. But in stones and other objects, there's no consciousness. The consciousness is not manifest, but consciousness is everywhere. Now if we consider the Vedic understanding or the Gita's understanding, we have to see that there are two kinds of consciousness. There is the finite consciousness of the Atma and there is the infinite consciousness of the Paramatma. So, the infinite consciousness of the Paramatma is present everywhere. And even that is not manifest to us. That way, if the Paramatma's presence in our own heart also right now is not manifest to us. When we become purified, it will become manifest to us. So, in some situations, Krishna can manifest himself specially through certain material objects. So, deities are said to be of two kinds. One is where they are fashioned with some material. We take some marble, we do some carving, and then we do prana pratishtha, where we invoke the Lord's presence into the deity. But the other is considered to be svayambhuva, self-manifested. That, like Shaligram Shila, there is a stone, but there we don't do any prana pratishtha. We don't invite the Lord to come over there. Because in the Shaligram Shila, the Lord is considered to be directly present. So there are some special stones in which the Lord is, Lord manifests himself. At one level, you could say the Lord is present in all stones. The Lord is present in all stones. But we don't worship the Lord, and he is present even the table over here. But we are not going to offer obeisances here, isn't it? So, there are certain stones or certain mashilas, which are considered to be sacred. And there, Krishna manifests his presence. So, those can be called as living stones, not in the sense that they are the bodies for a particular soul. Rather, the Lord is manifest over there. And when we have these particular parameters which are used to test whether the stone is living, that is more to sense the presence of the Lord over there. So it's not so much to sense the presence of the Atma. So this is one exception where the divine consciousness may manifest it. So we agree with panpsychism in the sense that the Supreme is present everywhere and he is supremely conscious. But it's not that everything is manifesting a unit of consciousness. Say your body is manifesting a unit of consciousness, that is you. My body is manifesting a unit of consciousness, that is me. But it's not that this table is manifesting a unit of consciousness of a soul present in it. Another exception could be that in some situations, if somebody is cursed, then they may be encaged in a stone, not exactly a body, but in a stone-like structure. So that kind of curse can happen. And in curses, sometimes natural laws can be changed. Not permanently, but temporarily. Like it is said that Ahalya was cursed to become a stone. And then Lord Ram touched her, and then she manifested herself again, being purified by his touch. So that is an exception. So curses may, especially curses given by certain powerful sages, may lead to the soul getting into a particular body. But there also, it was not exactly a transmigration. It was not that the stone was a body for the soul. Rather, the soul was the same, and the soul had the same body, but that body was transformed into soul. So it is not that the soul left this body and went to another body. Generally, how do we know whether consciousness is present somewhere? Mm-hmm. There is the first person experience, which say you know that you are consciousness. I know I am conscious. There is a school of thought which says that actually we can't know whether anyone else is conscious or not. All that I can know is I am conscious, and everybody else is just a subjective. I just infer that you are conscious. But you might just be a robot and have no consciousness. So now, that's of course, we don't agree with that. But it's very, why I mentioned the school of thought is to stress the point that it's not so easy to infer whether consciousness is, whether something is conscious or not from a second person's perspective. A robot nowadays can do many of the things which humans can do, but the robot is not conscious. So, consciousness internally, the symptom is that there is thinking, feeling, willing. There is not just perception, but there is experience. A robot may also see this door is red. It may see the red light hits it and say it's red. But for a human being, when they see red, they remember. Oh, red is the color of blood. I had seen that accident. I feel some fear. Or, red was the rose I offered to my beloved. And they feel some feelings over there, like that. That sort of experience is not there. So, that's the internal symptom, which is difficult to know externally. But the external characteristic, when we normally talk about embodied soul, but you could also talk about ensouled matter, matter in which soul is present. So, the external symptom is that normally matter undergoes three changes. There is creation, there is deterioration, and there is destruction. This table is created, it will exist for 10, 50 years, 100 years, it will crack, deteriorate, it will be destroyed. But when the soul is present in the body, then there is creation, there is growth. All of us were small babies at one time, we are grown now. Then there is maintenance. Now if the stone is cut, if this table is cut, it will stay cut. If our finger is cut, it will clot and heal. So there is a tendency to maintain itself. Then there is reproduction, which can happen through different means. Sometimes sexual, asexual, whatever. But reproduction happens. And then there is deterioration and destruction. So when soul is present in a body, these three additional characteristics are there. Growth, maintenance, and reproduction. So if these three are present, or even if any of these are present, then that is a good indication that there is soul present in that particular material object. So we don't see souls, stones reproducing. Sometimes stones may grow, but that is not exactly, see, like sometimes in rainy season, door seems to bloat. That is not exactly growth. It is just because of some water accumulating, it's bloating. As growth means there is like cell division and internal expansion is there, not just of size, but internal metabolism happens over there. So that doesn't happen in stones. So generally stones are not conscious. And the two exceptions would be if Krishna is manifesting through Shila and if somebody is cursed to become a stone. Okay. So unless we offend someone who curses us, we are unlikely to become stones.